Welcome to the Embodiment Conference. This is truly an epic event that is raising awareness and revealing just how much is happening in the world of embodiment. And this gives me hope about where we're heading as a people. I'm Amara Pagano. I'm the founder of Azul, a conscious movement path of personal transformation. I work with the body and the power of movement to awaken love and consciousness. Embodiment is a key to my work. And the journey of embodying the map of Azul is what facilitates the process of self-realization. I'm excited to sponsor the Dance and Creativity Channel to share my love of movement and to celebrate the power that it has to serve our collective evolution. If you are interested in awakening your deepest potential or curious about the spiritual and healing aspects of embodiment, I encourage you to check out Azul. Everyone is welcome. I work with people who love movement and people who have never moved. Follow the link and you'll find three gifts for you: a 50-minute Azul journey, a special discount on our online embodiment training, and a free month in our upcoming membership program. So come, check out the Path of Azul. I'll be presenting on the main stage here and in the Dance and Creativity Channel, and I hope to see you there. For now, enjoy the richness of the presentation you're about to see.
So once again, hello everyone. Welcome to the Dance and Creativity Channel. Thank you for coming. Today's session is Clown, the Art of Being Fully Present with Pedro Fabiello. Pedro is a clown, actor, director, teacher, coach, and psychodramatist, graduating from in physical theatre at the École Philippe Goliard in Paris, sorry if I pronounced that horribly wrong, and in clinical psychology at Coimbra University. He's directed the biggest Portuguese clown organization and trains and directs and performs with actors and clowns in all six continents. Outside of artistic fields, he leads groups for business and medicine, psychology and education professionals, adapting artistic and expressive tools to their specific needs so that they can learn about leadership, innovation, playfulness, humor, collaboration, and emotional intelligence. So we're going to get started in a second, but just to say to everyone, we would like to have about 15 people in the room for this session. It is going to be a practical session, and we do really need some people to take part. So please click raise your hand at the bottom of the screen, and we'll bring you in. But just to make you aware, this session will be live streamed and recorded on gallery view, so you will be visible. We'll bring you in as soon as we can. And Pedro, take it away.
All right. Thank you very much, Jamie. First of all, I'd like just to thank the organization of the Embodiment Conference. You guys are absolutely insane for organizing something like this. Hi, Annette from Denmark. I also want to thank everybody who took a bit of their Sunday to be here, and viewers from the future. Hi, people from the future watching this video in the days ahead. So I'd like to start by explaining what clown is, which is probably better done in the beginning by explaining what clown is not. So I'd say that there's a lot of bad press for clowns. A lot of people have strange ideas of what clown is about. And you know that it's a kind of a profession where a lot of people can just put on clown clothes and go out and have give bad name to the clowns, which wouldn't happen, for instance, to surgeons or air pilots. People would not be able to just put on an air pilot costume and go on a plane and pilot a plane. So a lot of people just do it. There's people who call themselves or are presented as being evil clowns or a lot of strange things. So, there's political insults that are based on the clown professional as well. So that's absolutely not what clown is about. Clowning is a really old, not only a profession, but also a function in human groups. I'd say that since humans got together in big groups, the clowns are necessary. They are a role that is needed to reestablish the balance in human groups. And probably it came in throughout history in many different faces with many different looks, right? So there was shamans that were clowns in many tribes. There was, even in our European cultures, in really old times, there were people who didn't have a place in society. They were outcast, they were expelled from the norm, of the religious norm, social norm, and they had a perspective from the human group from the outside. So that perspective is sought for in times of crisis. People turn to the ones who are outside for answers often throughout ages. So nowadays people know clowns from the circus, from probably cinema, like Charlie Chaplin, Buster Keaton, and growingly from hospital clowning, from applied clowning to a lot of different settings. So clowns are nowadays colonizing a lot of different spaces in society where they were not about 30, 40 years ago, for sure. So there's a strange demand socially for the clown role to come and bring something that probably we, mainly in our Western culture, are forgetting a little bit, which is often related to being able to be in relationship with others, to be in a meaningful, deep connection with others. So we're going to be exploring that a little bit today. I also want to give a word to all the fellow presenters in this conference so far, because it's really harsh to work on embodiment over Zoom and in groups that are just meeting for the first time. And, you know, it's not a contained group. I've been transposing a lot of my work to Zoom. Most of it is not possible to transpose. I can maybe use about a third or 20% of my normal material over Zoom. But it's even harder in groups that are changing the whole time. And I normally work with 10 people for 3 hours. Today, we have 53 so far. We have already quite a few voluntaries that they just said yes to turning their cameras on and maybe being present with their bodies and their faces to each other to do some games together. But this is it's really not our element. And I think it's really important to acknowledge that, because, you know, it's normal and it's okay to be resisting. I've been working with already hundreds of clowns online so far since this pandemic started to happen. And people are so resistant about being able to transpose their work, this sacred work of connection, to this environment. And I've been noticing, even in the other panelists, how hard it is to actually do this job at the distance, not being able to use the body, use the energy, use the touch, which is often our compass in this kind of work. So thank you guys for coming into this spaceship and going to another planet and see if we humans can survive there, this virtual planet. So let's all start, and everybody can do that even if you don't have your video on, it's totally fine. We can start with a little warm up. If you can just stand up and check if you have space around you to stand up. We're just gonna do a little shaking the arms, shaking the legs, shake your shoulders, and prepare for a little magic trick. This is how it goes. You can stretch your arms ahead of you, palms facing each other. You can now cross your arms, turn palms to each other again, and now you will cross your fingers and you have to point with your thumbs down, okay? I can see some thumbs that they have to be totally together, and now you turn them up. You turn them through So come on, there's something wrong here. Oh, it's not working. That's really strange. Let's try that again. Stretch your arms, cross, palms facing each other, and now thumbs together, okay? Okay, I can see a lot of people that's where the secret is, the thumbs together, and now let me see if I can assist you. Oh God, what a disaster. From 12 people, nobody. I wish everybody could see your faces. Oh my God. Bafflement. If at home you can see people trying to do that, please write on the chat what you see in their faces. Because it's just, oh my God, it's hilarious. All right, so it was not a success. We didn't manage doing it. I'm so sorry, something must have gone wrong. But the goal of the exercise, which is to give you something that is actually impossible and see you really keep on trying for a whole minute to go around. I saw people trying to become contortionists, you know, like really baffled with their own body, which is actually what happens a lot in clown work. You know, I really try that. There's a lot of different ways of working in clowning, right? There are people just prepare what they're gonna do and that's how they work. And the space they give for the new is very little. My preferred way of doing it is to really invite surprise. So this that you went through now, trying to just getting really surprised because you saw me doing it, but then you couldn't do it. That's exactly what we are fishing for when we clown. We have a structure, we have a norm, which means there's something that is expected to happen, right? So, okay, we put the hands like that and then we turn the hands. And then there's a surprise. There's a break of the norm. And that's when magic happens in clowning. So thank you very much for just embodying for a whole minute the bafflement, the surprise of the clown trying to do something that is actually very silly and not being able to. That is the whole beginning of clowning. So it's very interesting, this relationship we have with norm, right? Everybody has a plan, everybody is expecting something, and society has norms as well. Problem is, if we always follow the norm, we go insane. We go crazy by always follow the norm. The more we follow it, the more it accumulates attention, because there's a feeling underneath that sooner or later, something will have to change. Also, everything changes around. If you do one activity over and over again with nonstop, something will happen. So you build a norm, and if you continue that norm without changing it, something will happen for sure, right? So that is the whole function that the clown has. We are the ones who bring the break of the norm so that everybody can actually relax. So I'd say that's the first main function of the clown. We are the ones who offer our bodies, our action, our experience to break the norm, to fail, to not be able to turn the fingers when it seems like it's actually not so difficult, because the guy was asking for it, did it very easily. By the way, it's just a stupid magic trick. If I tell you what it is, I just don't reveal magic tricks, but it's so silly. So, great. I'd like now to ask two of you to do a very simple connection exercise. Who would like to try it first? You can raise your hand. Fantastic. We have Rosa and we have Zoot. So can you both unmute yourselves? And perfect. It's going to be a bit weird because we have a lot of other squares here, and you cannot have the privacy to just be looking at each other without seeing all the other people. Yeah, Zoot?
Can we if Rosa, I'm doing this to you now as well. If you click on my image, you can click pin video and then you'll only see me. Is that what you want, Pedro? You want us to just see each other?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you can do both for each other, that
would be. I can only do it for myself. If Rosa can do it for her. Well.
Yeah.
That's it. That's perfect. So what I'm going to ask you to do is just to, first of all, have a deep breath and just release all the charge that you may carry now. Just drop it. Yeah. And now that suddenly you are magically free to something new, you can look at each other. So Rosa will be looking at Zoot, Zoot at Rosa. And as you can see immediately, there's something starts to change, right? So when you really saw each other, the first thing that happened was you start smiling at each other, right? That means that you're very normal human beings. You're not psychopaths. So you feel stuff when you get in connection with somebody else. So now I just ask you to keep on breathing together. You just look at each other. You try to breathe at the same time or close. To be in synchrony. And instead of going into la-la land and to meditative state, deep meditation, you actually start paying attention to little details on the face of your partner. And you just notice in this face, like, what is the world that this face brings? Does it look like a harsh face? Does it look like a light, shiny face? If you imagine like a whole planet where everybody has had a face like that, how would that planet feel? Like, you just imagine you were walking the street and you saw a seller in the street, it had that face. You looked on the TV and the president of the country had that face. You went home and your mom had that face. Would that be a good planet to live in? Would you be scared to live there? Or would it be nice to live there? And now if you see any change, you look at each other and you are really focused on little changes that happen in your partner's face. And if you see any change, you give your partner a little wink just to signal, I saw it. And then see what happens after the wink. Oh my God, you went into winking craze. Yeah, what happened now? It was a surprise now, right? Can you see how much is happening even in these little winks? You know, it's amazing. And now I just ask you, to just, instead of the wink, you share a little sound, like a sound coming from within that just shows what you feel about that little change that you just saw.
Mm. Oh.
Yeah.
Haha. Oh.
Ah.
Hmm?
Ah.
Ah. Oh. Oh.
Ooh.
Ooh.
All right. Thank you so much. That was beautiful. That was amazing. I like now everybody who's watching this. What was the story you saw there? You know, because the way they ended was definitely different than the way they started. So there was a transformation going on, you know? Of course, like this, they were so brave. This is so awkward to be doing this intimate exercise under the eyes of everybody and besides like probably 40 people we can't see, right? So what did you see? What was the transformation? Maybe it was different for each, for Rosa and for Zoot. So we have people saying amazing applause. Okay, so meeting each other. They quickly became playful together. Absolutely. So you notice that in the beginning, there was still, as always, something that you present that is still not easily changeable. So our first, the first experience that we give to the outside is actually, we have surprise now coming in still. It was loosening up the game of dare, will you? Oh, careful. Absolutely, there was all this experience. We saw Zoot go, like when the heat of the moment, when it heated up, it was like, oh my God, where is this going to? And Rosa was like, yes, it will. So that was so clear. If we really look at the details, we can actually see all that first, you know, more thick layer of what we present being melted. And then we can really, now we look at them, I don't know if everybody can see them, and you can see the shine in their eyes, right? So something in them melted, and now they are much more easily reachable by our hearts, by our availability to connect, right? So this happens because clowning works also with masks. It's a mask language. And when we mean mask, the word for mask in Latin is, not in Latin, in ancient Greek, where it was created, was persona. And it's a beautiful word because persona means, it's a juncture of per and sonare. And sonare is to sound and per is through. So persona is the action of sounding through. So it's the language and the energy of the heart and of the spirit that goes through the mask and reaches the outside. And what we do in clown training, like it's very legitimate to ask yourself, why do I care about clowning? We're talking about clowning over and over again. Why is this interesting for me if I'm not a professional clown? Just we all have masks, right? And when I use the word mask, a lot of in society, we have a negative connotation with the word mask. But in clowning, it's necessary. And I'd say in our lives too, we need masks. We have different roles, we have different contexts where we live, and we definitely need to change and to present a different role according to the context where we are, right? So everybody has their own preference in what is the face that you show to the world. It's something that you learn to be comfortable with. You don't spend too much energy doing it. You know, it's something that you do it by default without thinking. That's what you normally present. Some people, you look at them and they immediately seem intellectuals because that's the mask they were happy to grab. There are people that they seem to be like Madre Teresa, you know, they are so lovely, and you know, they immediately feel, oh, I can help you, just tell me what I can do, you know. There's people who are tough, you know, you look at them and say, well, if we were in a war, I'm glad we have people like that in our society, you know. So there's all kinds of masks that we take. And these masks are necessary for our survival. The thing is, often in life, these masks don't do the job. So stuff gets out of our control so often, right? So when this happens, this mask gets dropped or gets broken or at least shakes a bit. And what comes through the mask, this personality, there's a deeper wisdom that comes, a deeper information that comes. But the way it comes, it often is felt by normal people as very unpleasant because we feel totally out of control. And what comes first is actually a part of ourselves that we feel like is not mature. When we are out of control, what comes, it's what we in clowning call the counter mask. So we can be, we can have the look of an intellectual, but then when we lose control, we become like, I don't know, children begging for something, you know, and that's the counter mask that happens. Or I don't know, we become enraged, easily enraged, or we just try to soothe everybody, you know? I don't know, it's different for everybody. The thing is, in clowning, that's exactly the journey, the emotional journey that we work with. So if you always stay the same during a clown number or a clown play, we won't really be so interested because we don't feel, okay, something happened, you remain the same, good for you, but you don't feel any transformation, you don't feel the change. And that's what we go and watch clowns for. We go to watch clowns so that we can see them deeply transformed. And by that, we can deeply transform as well, because the clowns do it being in very close relationship with the audience by taking them on the journey that they're gonna do. So we have already a few comments. They become like kids, free. Absolutely, they become like kids. That's why we feel like it's the less mature parts of ourselves in our counter mask when we lose control, right? So we have this idea also of the clown that we are, clowns are free all the time. Clowns are not free all the time. They start in a prison like everybody else. If they are free from the beginning, there's no journey. We just look at somebody freely, okay, I don't relate to that. But that's why the clown starts in a situation like Rosa and Zoot were. That is like, oh my God, I have to stay still. I have to look at the other person. There's an exercise that I need to do. I hope I do it well. I hope I don't make a fool of myself. So they're not free in that moment yet. And that's why we empathize with them. That's why when they start changing, everybody started changing with them, right? I'd like to ask you if you would like, if there's anybody here who would like to try that too. Maybe we will try it a little bit different. I don't know. I'm improvising as well. So if you feel like trying something like a connection exercise with somebody here, be my guest. You can just raise your hand. So we have Lee and we have Alan. Fantastic. So please unmute yourselves. All right.
Hello.
So we will start the same way. We will just start by looking at each other, having a big in-breath.
I'll pin you, right?
Sorry?
Okay. Sorry, I just pinned Alan. Yeah.
Perfect. If you can pin each other, that will work better for sure. Okay, now you pinned each other. I hope it wasn't painful. You just look at each other, you release your breath. That, if you notice, that's always a start. You always have to release something. And the first thing you do is you release your breath. That's the first thing we hold when we are nervous, when there's anxiety, is we start breathing in a very shallow way, dangerous, not enough oxygen. So now you are very oxygenated. I don't know if that's the word. You're seeing this amazing human being in front of you and you start noticing what is particular about this face. What is different about this one? And you start seeing, little things about their face that are curious, that you're interested in. And then you feel like, oh, look at that. That's changing. You can already see some little corners of the mouth. The eyes start to change when you look at each other. Yeah, and when you see any little change, you start giving one wink. Like, Katya, I saw that. Even if you can't wink very well, yeah, try the way you can. That's good enough. That is fantastic. And now, every time you feel like, yeah, there's an emotion coming, you just give it a sound again. So you react to the change in your partner with a little sound. Sorry, and if you feel like there's a bigger sound inside you that needs to come out, you can really get it out, you know? If there's something that, if there's something stronger. That's right. That's very right. See, everybody start moving in the other squares when you did that sound. So that was very helpful. If you have more of that, please get it out. Oh, that starts to be satisfying. Yeah. Now we're playing the game. Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you very much. I'm going to ask you now, what are the body sensations that you're feeling at the moment? What do you sense in your limbs, in your face, in your circulation?
For me, my whole body feels kind of like warm and maybe just slightly sweaty, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. So there was a little wave of warmth coming that probably triggered some sweat centers, right? Yeah. Go ahead, Lee. I was asking you now.
When I made the bigger noise and release, it was so much better. Because there was tension up until then. So it was like, oh, yeah.
Absolutely. And
then I felt like I connected more with Alan too.
Oh, yeah. And not only with Alan. What was magic is when you did it, immediately I could see people going like, oh, thank you. Yes, I can move too, right? Good. If you at home would like to write something, people are still asking, can I join with my video? I think, yes, you can still join in with your video, except we're reaching, I think, the limit. But the technical people, until 16, you can still bring people in. Jamie says, click raise hand, please. All right, so people who are watching this, you can write, what did you experience in this exchange between Alan and Lee? Because again, it was really rich. Anybody else who's here in the panel, what you can unmute yourself and you can also share when you start to move. You obviously had some kind of a reaction. What happened? In which moment did it happen? What happened to you in that moment? So you can just raise your hand and mute yourself and speak. Or not, you're allowed not to speak as well. So exert your right of not speaking. Beautiful. Oh, there's a lot of people writing from home. So it was fun to watch the other panelists. Everyone became adorable. That's beautiful. That's so true. You know, like this is, I train a lot of people who are not artists from, you know, the corporate world to psychologists in actually connection and empathy and emotional intelligence. And it all starts with this really simple work, you know? And it's so beautiful that everyone became adorable. I love this sentence because that's really what happens. It's sometimes you try everything. You try counseling, coaching, you know, mentoring for very difficult situations in relationships at work, at home, and nothing seems to work because people don't feel each other. They don't, and when you don't feel each other, when you don't feel the other person's emotions, it's very hard for us as a species, as an animal, to trust the other side. You can intellectually have a lot of reasons to trust. You can understand a lot about their situation. But if you don't feel them, it will be very hard for you to develop a deep trust in this person, right? So emotions are our biggest asset in clowning. That's what we work with. And this is what we are allowing here to arise by these very simple structures. Right? We are connecting and we are paying attention to very little details. We're not working with like extraordinary things. Actually, most of other performative languages are about making something that is very difficult, you know, like circus techniques, even the best acting. It's very hard to do it, but you should not see the effort in it. They are presented as if it's something very easy. The clowning is the opposite. So you do something that is very silly, very small, very simple to do, like, you know, as if it's a miracle and you are baffled by it. So it's the very opposite of, you know, show business or trying your best or aiming for an amazing life. No, it's actually coming to terms with like, yeah, this is really difficult. This is really awkward. And you know what? If we can connect from this experience, from this very deeply human experience, then we're going to start building a very beautiful common ground where suddenly we're going to feel, yeah, the other person is adorable. Why keep this struggle, right? If we can, there's so many stories that I lived where there was horrible situations in companies that nothing would work. And after a day of being adorable together, and when we say adorable, you know, we're not, you know, bringing teddy bears and cuddling each other. We're really being together in the raw human experience. And that's enough to feel like the other person is actually amazing. So thanks for this. There was other things being said, like I was smiling along. Tension and relief. Thank you so much, Shreya. She said tension and relief. This is actually the other side of the story that happened in a more, you know, physical level. What happened was we started with tension, every clown act, every clown number, and every human interaction begins with some level of tension. And the ones that really develop to become deeper are the ones where we can release more and more of the tension. So it was beautiful when we saw Lee and Alan just, oh, for God's sake, I can exist. I just had to invite them and say, hey, is there anything more inside, right? Because it was obvious that they were like, but there was a lot inside. We're all so powerful. There's so much emotional power in us. And this is what clowning can also give us. A lot of the embodiment languages that are being presented in this conference give you that. Our way of doing it, is just from pure connection, letting out the emotional experience that you're having in relationship with the support of the other side, right? So we don't do that in front of a mirror. We don't do it just on our own. We do that in connection with somebody else, because this connection is actually an amazing tool, a really powerful way of making or provoking a transformation in you. When you're alone, you can still fool yourself really easily. When you're eyes to eyes with somebody else, it's so hard to fool yourself because you have the truth in the other person's eyes. So I'd say that is what is essential and idiosyncratic in clowning, is you do it with the truth that comes from your other, you know, with your audience, with your partner, whoever you're playing with, your play partner, right? So we were talking about tension. Tension is released big time. And this is so healing. You know, this is what we don't do for such long stretches in our lives. It's just to allow ourselves to release this energy. And what Alan and Lee said is like, wow, I felt warmth occupying my body. I even felt some sweat sensors starting to be activated. You know, when you really go for it, when you really release everything you have, your hands and legs start shaking by the intensity of the energy that is released. And that is really transformative. You're opening channels in you, expression channels, that once they're open, it's not so easy that you close them again, you know? It's like this thing of once seen, it cannot be unseen. You know, it takes time at least to go back. So it's amazing when you have a forum where you can play with this frequently, because you're going to be open your expression more and more. Okay, I'm getting bored with my own voice. Anybody has a question so far? There's some comments. When you're alone, it's just my quoting myself. Thank you so much. To those with hands, oh, this is Jamie.
There have been a couple of questions, Pedro.
Okay, do you want to just place one of them?
Let's have a look. We've got, what are your thoughts on Joker, the movie, in relation to the mask and counter-mask connection with society, or any other thoughts? And there was also another question a bit earlier on that was about, how does counter-mask relate to the unconscious having access to deeper wisdom?
All right. So, wow, big questions. That would really, answering thoroughly, would occupy the rest of the time. I'm going to try to be very brief. We have clowning, and we have buffon, which is the, or buffoon in English, which is the cousin of clowning, which is, clowning is what unites humans. It's a horizontal artistic language. Buffon is what unites the divine with the devilish, right? So it's something, and you know, it's cousins. They're pretty much together, and often you have mix of both. There's sometimes clear clowns, clear buffoons, but most time you have a little bit of both in each performer. I'd say that Joker, the movie, is more in the buffoon realm. It's not really a clown, because the buffoon is the member that was expelled from the group, you know, from the, in medieval times, from the children of God. God creates perfection. We're all ethically, morally, and physically perfect. And whomever doesn't fit to those standards, they must be out, because they cannot be the creation of God. So they were chucked to the realms of the, you know, out of the city walls, and they were the buffoon, the buffoon. They would come back in the carnival times, where people were bored and they needed the tension to be released. And they would call all these even like witches, geniuses, poets that were in transgression of the rules, would be able to come back and entertain the boring people that chuck all the deformities. And they would come, and they would also expose the hypocrisy. But it's a very thin line, because if you just come with the anger, and that is normal, is natural from the life that you've been having outside of the, you know, the chosen ones, you could be killed. And nowadays you just don't have, for instance, food or money to live with. So you have to conform to some rules, play by some rules, and then very subtly, you will just expose the hypocrisy. When everybody's laughing, when everybody's open, you just stab where it hurts in a very clever way. So the buffoon are very clever. The clowns are just, you know, apes. We are the failing people. We represent the failure of humanity to become gods. We all want to be perfect, but we just fail miserable in that attempt. Yeah. So I hope I answer that. And also the counter mask. Look, the counter mask is something that is pretty much in our unconscious, for sure. And of course, there's emotions that are normally not so accepted by society. So it's also in the collective unconscious, like anger, sadness. You know, we reject sadness in such a way. That's why in a lot of clown workshops, people also not only laugh a lot, but they also cry a lot, because that's something that they don't find any other space to channel that energy. And that's such a powerful connective energy, the one of sadness. So that's, yeah, that comes in the counter mask, and we just learn how to open path to it in clown workshops. All right, so good. Nobody can say I didn't answer some questions. We can move on. So let's do one more. I think we probably have time for one more game, maybe two more. Who'd like to try it? something new, another connection exercise. So Steen and Sharon were the first ones to raise their hands. So you can unmute yourselves because you're really gonna need your voice. So this one, it's, we already had a very simple connection exercise, just breathing with sounds. We're just gonna take the next step. So I'm gonna ask you to just come up with the first song that pops up in your consciousness. It can be shameful, it can be so embarrassing, this song. No worries, you may not know the words for it. If you know some words, just repeat them in a loop, no problem. If you just can only hum it, there's not a problem. So one of you is going to start and sing this song just for the other person. So who would like to start? You will both do that. So Steen is gonna do it. And you're gonna do it, just the structure of this play is the following. You're just gonna start singing, just offer whatever comes. You also pray. Where you're supposed to be. Oh my God.
Okay.
That was a surprise. Can, woo!
I didn't sing that.
I know. If you sang that, I would be really freaked out.
I think Sharon's, it's something to do with her. She's getting feedback.
Yeah, I'm getting feedback, sorry.
Oh, all right. Is that something that will happen? You have no idea, right?
Seems to be okay now, so let's proceed and see how we go on.
Okay.
So, wow, can you see how everybody went like, oh my God, we all got a big fright, and it means that we're all very connected, very here and now, right? So this is the other part of the state of the clown. We are in complete action-reaction state, you know? We're not just bored and thinking, oh, maybe I will look at my phone and nobody will notice. You know, we're really here. And when something happens, we, Jesus Christ. So Steen, you are gonna sing this song. You don't know what's gonna happen, fortunately. If you knew, you would not probably do it. But you are just gonna start singing it, and you're gonna connect with Sharon as you do it. And the way you're gonna connect with her is you're gonna try to just imbue yourself with her level of energy, with her state of tension. Maybe she's relaxed, maybe she's not. And even with her emotion, right? If she's very happy, that's how you're gonna sing to her. If she starts to get bored, you will also, yeah, without any judgment, like, okay, now it's boring time, and we're gonna sing this way. And you're just gonna tune yourself very subtly to her state as you are just singing your song in a loop. Is that okay?
Okay. Okay.
Off we go.
I'm singing in the rain, just singing in the rain. What a glorious feeling. I'm happy again. I don't know the words, but I don't care, because I'm singing for Sharon in the rain.
All right, thank you.
I'm singing.
Now they don't want to stop. You see, once they start, then it's like, okay, kids, enough. Let's come back home. So this is the click. I sorry to stop you so quickly. Normally we spend a long time doing this, but you were touching into the realm that, you know, we were hoping for, which is you suddenly, there was something that was generated between you where you just start to feel happy to be silly together, right? And from then on, you're just like, okay, just let me do it just a bit longer, because this feels so damn good, right? Perfect.
Yes.
What did people feel at home and see at home happening? You can write it down in the chat. And if anybody who's here in the panel would like to just share with us what there happened that touched you or that moved you a little bit. Was there something that you saw in that connection that actually was or interested you at least? So yeah, Genevieve.
Yes, there was a sort of moment when both of them reacted and all the rest of us as well.
Yeah, towards the end, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So something happened between them that nobody could predict. You know, it was just like pop, it emerged from the singing, right? They were like for 20, 30 seconds searching for each other. Did you notice that? Steen was singing, she was not sure, where is Sharon? Sharon was trying to show, I'm so relaxed, don't worry, everything's cool. And Steen was like, oh, you're moving a lot, I cannot really see you. Did you notice that? This is what we often do in the beginning clown workshops, is we try to help our partner. We try to really, you know, I'm not menacing, I love you right away. You know, you don't even need to feel afraid. And often, by trying to be nice to our partner, we are confusing them a little bit, you know, because the audience, and a real audience in clowning, they will not be like, come on, you can do it. I know you're nervous, but, you know, they were just going to be waiting for something to happen, you know, and that is actually a very clear feedback. And this is what we face in real life. You know, we don't have cheerleaders around every corner saying, hey, come on, you can do it today, right? So we are used to having a normal, okay, I'm with you, I'm open, I have some curiosity, but come to my level. And this is also what good clowns, because there's all kinds of clowns. In every job, there's amazing professionals and not so great professionals. Good clowns go and meet you in your level, right? Especially, I work a lot with hospital clowns. Hospital clowns have to do it because otherwise it will be terrible to go to a hospital room where nobody paid for a ticket, nobody's asking for clowns. And you just have two clowns getting in their room and bringing a completely messy, crazy energy. Absolutely not. You have to come in and tune yourself with the level of tension, with the emotion that is in there. And this is an amazing skill to have. So thank you so much for being in. You know, you all know that one of the biggest fears that people in, you know, when they have the fear lists of humanity, top two is the fear of singing in public. Here you are, singing in public in a clown workshop on Zoom and still being able to reach that level of connection, right? Even with that thing, you found each other and you were surprised in that moment. And when that happens, then you are really connected. Then magic happens from then on. Beautiful. It's always frustrating, 1 hour. So I probably, we'll leave some space for final question and answer. And the organization also have asked me to leave the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, so we need
what for. So
we need a few minutes to wrap up. So we can maybe start doing that now. And if there's any very quick questions, we can do them at the end. But also, if not, I'll turn my video on so I'm not just a disembodied voice. If we don't have time to do the questions, what we can do is save the chat and we'll post those questions to Pedro and he can answer them in our Facebook group, because we yet not enough time in an hour, unfortunately, to do all of these things. So I'll just do a little shout out now. I'll come back to you, Pedro, in a moment for the last word. So if you want to think about your top embodiment tip, I'll come back to you shortly. But just to say to everyone, we've just posted some links in the chat, or we will post some links in the chat, which has access all of Pedro's websites and things like that, so that you can find more of his information. We'll also post in the chat links to the embodiment portal. So of course you can come and join our coffee break room so that you can continue the conversation and share your learnings with other people. And there's also of course the link there to upgrade if you do want to purchase the package for the conference library. And obviously today is the last day of the conference, so you will have 48 hours to watch the videos from these last days. But beyond that, the videos will no longer be accessible, and of course the price of the package will go up after today. So please do consider upgrading, and if you are on the fence about upgrading, now is the time to get that 50% discount. Is there anything else I need to say that's important? Oh, also don't forget you can donate. So if upgrading isn't possible, you can donate to the conference. There's Mark jumping in for a cameo. You can also donate either to the conference or you can donate to one of our partners. And we'll pop some links again in the chat for that so that you can do that. So Pedro, let's just come back to you for one moment. What is your top embodiment tip for people?
The top embodiment tip that I always mention in the end of my sessions, I have no idea. So I'd say own your experience. You know, you can even, like we did it today. Whatever you're going through, especially if it's hard, just take a moment to own it, to feel how it impacts your body, to breathe into it, and to release it with a primal sound. Oh. And then just stay there a little bit for it to be with you. But you're out, it's out, it's in and out. And if you can do that with somebody else, do it, because that works even better. So that would be it.
Amazing. That's a great ending. So thank you very much. Thank you to all the people who volunteered to have their cameras on. We really do appreciate that. Like I say, check out our Facebook group. All the live streams of the sessions are in there for 48 hours after every session. Same with the portal. We've only got one more session to go on this channel. At 8 p.m. we have a film of a dance performance by Katie Wells. So we would love people to check in and watch that one. And then there is, of course, the closing party because it's nearly over. But anyway, thank you again, Pedro. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks, all the participants. Bye.